They work pretty hard. I've been back there for their choir practices before. They work pretty tough back there every Sunday night. And we asked them that they be faithful. If they're going to be part of the children's choir, they need to be faithful to church and faithful to Sunday night services. And they've all qualified for doing that, and we appreciate it. There were some new faces up there, some old faces up there, but they did a wonderful job tonight. Thank you, young people. Philippians chapter number 3, this morning we began talking about God's heart for you, and hopefully when we understood and see God's heart, not working. It's got a green light. Christian, can you bring me another microphone? This one's on. Philippians chapter number 3. I don't care which one. It could be a lapel or ear mic, whatever makes it easiest and the quickest. Hey, I'm back on now. Wonderful. Okay, Philippians chapter number 3. This morning we talked about... Can you hear me now? Good, good, great, great. This morning we talked about having God's heart for you. And the idea of this morning's message was to see God's heart and passion for us, to help us to want to have a heart and passion for God. And we talked about a new series we're starting on Sunday nights, and we're going to take a little while to go through this and help us understand about pursuing after God. Pursuing after God. Remember, it's not just going to be about how to do it, but it's also going to look at things that stop us from pursuing after God, different ways we can pursue God, different things like that. And you say, what do you mean by pursue God? And I mentioned this morning about some of those phrases and some of those verses in the Bible that's found in the Psalms about how David talked about how he thirsted after the living God, how his flesh and his heart cried out for the living God, and just wanting to enter into a deeper relationship with God. And that we as Christians should have that desire, and that desire should be in us to want to know about more of his words, to want to know more about him, to want to just become closer to him. And we even challenge you this morning with saying, you are as close to God today as you want to be, because God is there. He's ready, interested in developing a relationship with you, growing closer into you, becoming more like Jesus. And this morning, we talked about God's heart for you. That begins with salvation. It begins with salvation. God is not willing, he's not willing that any should perish. He wants to see everyone come to repentance. Praise the Lord for that. He didn't pick and choose who was going to be saved. He wants each and every person to be saved. So that's why we should go out and tell the world about it. Secondly, we talked about how it does not stop there. Most people like to think, hey, that's it. It's over. I'm saved. I'm going on my way to heaven. Who cares about the rest of it? But God also has a heart to give you his word. We looked in John chapter number 7, talking about Jesus. He said how he gave him thy word. The actual words of God was given to us and has been preserved in the word of God that you have in your hands tonight. This is the word of God, and he has preserved it throughout the ages for our generation today, and he has given us his word for us to learn. And what do we think? Those three things we talked about we need to do with the word of God is preach the word, or you could say listen to the preaching of the word, or study the word. And we talked about how we should desire the sincere milk of the word, and that we should have a desire as believers to study the word of God. And if that desire is not there, there's something that's taking that desire away. And we call that the junk foods of this world that's filling up our appetites to where it's taking away our appetite for God and our appetite for his word. And also we learned this morning, not only do we need to hear the preaching or preaching the word, we need to study the word, but more importantly than all of it is we need to obey the word. Amen. Not only we just don't need to hear the word, we need to obey the word. We need to be doers of the word, just not hearers only. Last but not least, we talked about how as God's heart is for us for salvation, it's for us to possess his scriptures, but we also saw how it is for our sanctification. We talked about how God wants us to be set apart, be holy for his work, for his calling upon our life. So there's a lot of different messages and thoughts inside this series, but the first one we're going to talk about tonight is pursuing after God with your whole heart. Pursuing after God with your whole heart. In the Psalms, it says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Not just parts of it, the whole heart. The heart is the center of our life, is where we make our decisions, is where who we really truly are. Psalms 119:10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. So tonight when we consider this idea, this beginning of this series is pursuing after God, I want us to look at some things of how we need to pursue after God with our whole heart. The challenge for tonight is not to just do it little with portion of our heart, but to give God all your heart, to go and pursue after God, to search and to seek after him with your whole entire heart, not to hold anything back, to want to develop a relationship with God and a greater relationship with God, making it the number one priority of your life. And here in Philippians chapter number 3, we have this story about the Apostle Paul, who came to a point in time in his life, he says that he counted everything else but loss, that he may know Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. He really, truly wanted to know God and made that the number one priority in his life. He was doing it with his whole heart. Now, we were reminded of what Bible tells us about Paul. Before his conversion, what did he do? He was on the road, going to the road to Damascus. And as he was going to the road to Damascus, he was going to persecute believers, persecute Christians. He was going to go seek them out. And he was going to go put them to death or put them in jail. He was going to drag them all the way back to Jerusalem to put them before trial. Paul was a very influential man in society. He had the accolades of others. He had the wonderful position of influence. He had a strong educational background. He had great religious notoriety, but that was not enough for Paul. Paul wanted to be known as a religious zealot. Paul wanted to get the approval of others and even to be a greater man in other people's eyes. And the way he did that was by persecuting the church. But when Paul was saved, gloriously saved, amen, that God saves even those that are murderers and those that persecute the church. Praise the Lord. God saves to the uttermost, and we're thankful for that. All things became new for him. And he began on a new passion, a new journey. And that was to seek God or pursue God with his whole heart. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, I encourage you to give some thoughts here in your own mind. My goal is that God would impress upon your heart that as we take this journey of pursuing after God, and I know we got Christmas and Thanksgiving season coming up, so there'll be some times when we skip over this and do other things. But you make a decision tonight. A decision tonight that you're going to try to pursue after God with all your heart, that you're going to make a commitment, that you're going to want to be willing to conform into his image. And tonight you're going to commence in this journey that I want to seek after God with all my heart. Let's look here in Philippians chapter number 3. Let's look in verse number 7. It says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. You say, Pastor, what does he mean, those things that were gained for me? In the previous verses, and we're not going to take time to look at it, there is all those things that Paul was proud of. He was confident, he could be confident in his flesh because of his heritage, because of his training, because of his zeal, because of his position. All those things that he thought was valuable as an unbeliever, he's saying, that these things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I apprehend of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that tonight you burden our hearts, Lord, as you've burdened my heart, and that you burden it once again, Lord, about the desire to want to seek after you, to pursue after you, to want to know you better, Lord, that we see these holy aspirations that Paul had for his life, Lord, ones of knowing you better and understanding you better, Lord, seeking the power of God on his life, Lord, just being satisfied with pressing towards that mark, Lord, for your high calling that was upon his life. Lord, help us tonight to make a commitment, to say, Lord, whatever it is you want, whatever it is that you want me to do when it comes to pursuing after you, that I'll just say yes tonight. And I'll start this journey, or start the journey of wanting to get to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, point number one. First thing, if we're going to seek God or pursue God with our whole heart, we need to make a commitment to Christ. We need to make a commitment to Christ. That's what I see here in verse number 7. It says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul had a strong commitment to Jesus Christ. Paul was saying all that Jewish recognition and that pride that he held nationally and all around, those things did not matter when he came to know Jesus Christ. Though he had been schooled at the feet of some of the greatest teachers of his day, he said it meant nothing when he thought about Jesus Christ. He was a Pharisee. He had religious notoriety. Yet he said all the religions of the world would mean nothing to him when it came to Jesus Christ. All these things that were precious to him and precious to many, many men that was in that society, in those religious worlds that day, he says, I count that all but loss. Something that everybody else would hold in value. He said, I count that but loss. See, the problem is that there's many people today in the world that we live in, as even preachers that are going across the country, encouraging young and old to find their roots and to have some sort of ethnic pride. And I don't think there's anything wrong with knowing the history of your family and understanding where you came from and appreciating your background. But when that becomes the source of your pride and comes the most valuable thing in your life, there is a problem. The Apostle Paul shows us that he could have had confidence in the flesh. In verse number 4, though I might have also had confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he had half whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. He's saying, if anybody could boast about their background, it would be me. And he says, you know what? None of that's valuable. None of that's worthwhile. Paul said that the more he knew Christ, the less any of that mattered. And if we're going to make a commitment, and we're going to make a commitment to pursue after God with our whole heart, we need to learn that there are some things that we're just going to have to count as loss. There are some things that we're just going to say that they really don't matter. We're going to have to say that as we learn more about Christ, we're going to care less and less about our flesh. We're going to care more about just glorifying Jesus Christ and the things that we are proud of and the things and the accomplishments that we used to hold so high and the places that we used to think were so great, they're not going to mean anything to us when it compares to our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul's earthly heritage did not matter to him. Today, people brag about their religion, their good works, their ancestors' works. I don't know how many times when I knock on the door and I talk to somebody about their personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know what they tell me? You know what? My granddaddy was a pastor. He helped build that church down the road. You know, they were proud of that. You know what? I think it's wonderful that they're proud of something their parents and their grandparents did for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful. They can have that testimony and they're excited about that. But they were taking their grandparents' testimony and using that as their relationship for Jesus Christ. And they are not going to find any hope in that. The hope that they have is a personal relationship if they have it. And how does your commitment compare? You know, you think about the Apostle Paul. So is there something in your life today that causes you to say, well, Jesus Christ does not mean that much to me? If you really want to pursue after God in a better relationship, with a better relationship with God, we're going to have to learn that we need to count things but loss. And there's not going to be times where we can just take days off. We're not going to be able to say, hey, I'm going to count everything loss except for when the Steelers are on TV. And you know what? The Steelers are on TV right now. Where are we at? We're in church. Praise the Lord. Don't tell me what the score is because I'm going to watch the game later. So we're going to count everything but loss, not just when the Steelers are playing. We're going to count everything when it's lost, when we're during hunting season, when family comes over, when we have sporting events for our kids. We're going to say all that things do not matter when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to make a commitment. If you really, truly want to pursue God with your whole heart, you need to make a commitment that he is going to be number one and he's going to be the most important thing in your life and everything else is going to be counted loss. If not, you're never going to reach the relationship you could have with God. Have you ever been in an all-out pursuit? I mean, have you ever been in a time and a place where you're just focused and there's nothing else that matters, that you are pursuing after something? I've never been in a high-speed car chase before. My dad did one time. I was driving in a car. I was a young kid, and I wasn't really supposed to be in the patrol car, but it was one of the few times ever was. It probably was the last time ever was, but my dad got a call when I was in the patrol car, and boy, he heard it, and you know what? He said, buckle up. I was already buckled up. He put the lights on, he went off, and he started going. It was cool. Everybody had to stop for us. You know, they got to go through red lights, and he was pursuing to get to that spot, and then he kicked me out of the car before anything exciting happened. So, but he pursued after it. It was something he was focused on. It was something he was going after. You know, guys, remember when you were pursuing, oh, I guess we should call it courting your wife? You know, remember that time in those days? You were willing to do many things to just try to woo her. Remember how important it was, and when you were developing that relationship, you were willing to skip the time with your friends. Maybe those basketball games or those times that you would spend together just playing video games or whatever it is that you would do. Maybe hunting. You were willing to give those things up. You were willing to count those things lost in order to grab the hearts of that young lady. Unfortunately, usually after they get married, they go back and forget about the pursuing anymore. That's not good. Men, you should still be trying to keep that relationship going with your wives. But what did you do when you were dating and courting? You were pursuing. You were giving. You were willing to maybe skip lunch or be willing to eat peanut butter and jelly to be able to have a little bit of money at the end of the week to be able to take her out to eat. You were willing to send her flowers. You were trying to do your most to be able to show her and to win her. That's the type of pursuit we need to have after God. We need to be willing to lay other things aside and say, hey, I'm going to try to develop my relationship with God. I'm going to go after it. It's like that Olympian that pursues that gold medal. They're willing to pretty much give up everything to attain their goal. You think about, they're willing to give up their sleep because they have to get up so early to train. They're willing to give up friendships because many times they have to move far away for their training. Many times they have to say goodbye to family for long periods of times. And the hours of training that takes away their free time and their relaxing time. But they say, hey, it's all worth it. If I'm going to reach that goal, that gold medal, it's going to be worth it. I'm willing to count that free time loss. I'm willing to count the relationships with my friends for loss for a little while. My family lost for a little while. That relaxing, those times, those things I enjoyed, those foods that I enjoy, I'm willing to count it all loss if it meant that I could reach that gold medal. That's the pursuit that we need to have of God. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He says, but though what things were gain to me, those things I used to hold so dear and so precious to me, those things that caused my life to be filled with so much pride and so proud of myself, he says, I count them but loss today. How about your pursuit of God? What is the thing that is stopping you or staying in your way? What are those things that are dear to us today that is stopping us from pursuing after God with our whole heart? So we need to make a commitment. If we're not willing to make a commitment, that pretty much ends it. I'm not telling you to close up your Bibles and go home, but that's the first step. Second thing I want you to think about, not only is it making a commitment to Christ, we have to be willing to conform to become like Christ. We have to be willing to conform to become like Christ. See, here's the great thing. If we make this commitment, what's going to happen is we're going to become more and more like Jesus Christ. As we say no to the world and yes to God, we're going to be building our spiritual side. As we say no to the things that we used to count dear and we say that they're worthless or they're not important to me when I consider Jesus Christ and consider a relationship and as I pursue after God, it's something that we're going to grow and become more like him. Look what it says in verse number eight. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. See, Paul was a man who wanted his Savior more and more, and he wanted to be like Jesus. You see here, only way you can ever become like someone else is by gaining a knowledge of them. Look what it says. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. He wasn't even talking about those things that were precious to him before, those things that he used to count as gain. He's saying, hey, when I look at everything, he says, when it comes to this, I'm willing to count everything but loss. He says, but for what purpose? For the excellency of the knowledge. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He's not saying, hey, I'm willing to count things but loss so God can give me the power so I can heal people. No, he just wants to know God better. He's not even saying, I'm willing to forget all these things and be willing to consecrate everything if God would just heal my child. No, he's not saying that. He's just saying to enhance and develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, to have a better knowledge of him. He was willing to count everything but loss. If we want to pursue God with our whole heart, We're going to, first of all, have to be willing to make a commitment. And then we're going to have to be willing to conform to become like his son. That begins with the knowledge. He wasn't just talking about an intellectual knowledge. He was talking about a personal relationship. Remember that verse we talked about this morning, John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is the point. This is the key, that we may know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's our knowledge. That's the thing that Paul is looking for, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And he says in verse, he keep on going, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win them. Paul was saying, if there's anything between him and God, if he knows there's something that is stopping him from serving God, what he's going to take it, he's going to take that thing that is stopping him from serving God, he's going to put it on the garbage pile. That's what he's saying. He's saying that he counts them all but dung. It's all worthless. He's going to take that thing that is stopping that pursuit, and he's going to take it and throw it away. He said, it's just not worth it. He says the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ is more important. So we come to this question. How much do you know him? There's a whole difference in knowledge of God. There's people that we know about. You know, I have knowledge of Michael Jordan. I know I've used that example before, but I've never met Michael Jordan before. I don't have a personal relationship with him. But then there's a knowledge of Jesus Christ that you can know him and enter into a personal relationship. But then there's those who know him better. And you see their lives and you see their testimonies, and they have a desire to want to know God, and they have this fruits of the Spirit just coming out of their lives, and they know God. And that's where we should be going to. That's what we should be seeking for. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Hey, I'm willing to forget all this if I can just know him better. Are you growing in your relationship with God? Is there something in your life tonight that you need to throw in the dumpster? Is there something that's stopping this pursuit? Because when you're in an all-out pursuit, when you're out there looking for things, there are things that are going to have to be sacrificed. There are things that are going to have to just be saying, hey, that's just not that important anymore. That's not that valuable. My eyes are focused, and I'm pursuing after God. Not only do we need to conform the image of some is by the knowledge of Christ, but also with the understanding of the righteousness of Christ. Look what it says here in verse number 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Because Paul knew Jesus as a Savior, he also had the wonderful joy of having the righteousness of Christ on him. See, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are declared righteous because of his sacrifice. Paul not only had the knowledge of Christ his Savior, but he had the very righteousness of Christ applied to his account. And at that moment, he was saved. You say, Pastor, why is that important? What this teaches us is that we can be righteous through what Jesus Christ has done for us. See, we don't have to live like sinners. We don't have to live like the rest of the world. This morning, we looked in Ephesians chapter number 4. There was those who were like the other Gentiles, who did not believe in God, and they were walking a certain way. Their understanding was dark, and they were headed down another path. They had a different mentality, and how a believer was supposed to have a mentality of Christ, and how the believer was supposed to live a certain way. And this is what the righteousness of Christ teaches us and shows us, that we have the opportunity to serve him. We no longer have to serve sin. We have the choice of serving God. Praise the Lord. I do not have to sin. If you're struggling with something tonight, you can give it to God. You can leave it at the cross, and it can stay there. You don't have to pick it up. The devil has no control over you. It's only when you allow him into your life. Praise the Lord for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Third thing I want you to see is the fellowship of Christ. So we need to get going quickly here. It says, now look what it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto the death. Now, here he's talking about being conforming. The Apostle Paul talks often about conforming into the image of Christ. And when we talk about a pursuit with God later on, we are going to talk a little bit more about the conforming into his image. We're going to look here, but how do you conform into his image? First, you have an understanding of who he is. That's the knowledge of him. Secondly, you understand yourself and what you can be in Jesus Christ. And thirdly, you spend time with him, the fellowship of Christ. I don't know about you, if you want to get to know somebody, you want to become like somebody, you have to spend time with them. I mean, that's just simply put. If you really, truly want to become, like for instance, if I said I want to become like Mr. Mark. No comments? Okay. If I wanted to become like Mr. Mark, if I wanted to learn how to hunt like Mr. Mark does, if I want to learn how to do tile work, and if I want to learn how to do all the multiple things that he knows how to do that I don't know how to do, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to spend time with him. I'm going to have to watch how he does things. I'm going to have to watch what type of clothes he wears. I'm going to have to watch his personality. I'm going to have to watch his attributes. I'm going to have to watch his characteristics. I'm going to have to spend time with him, getting to know him and fellowshipping with him, spending time understanding why he does things, and then start trying to copy that. I'm not going to try to do that. I'm going to try to copy Jesus Christ, but that's an example. I'm not going to be able to learn anything about Mr. Mark if I'm not willing to spend time with him. How are we ever going to be conforming to the image of Jesus Christ if we're not willing to spend time with God? If we're not willing to spend time with him in his word, if we're not willing to speak to him and pray to him and interact with him, your relationships that you have with others, your friendships, or even with your mates, the only way you're really truly going to have that special time of fellowship and intimacy is when you spend time with one another and you get to know one another. And that's what they're talking about here. And this pursuit for God, if you're going to do it with your whole heart, first it begins with a commitment. You can say, hey, I'm going to count everything but loss. I'm going to be willing to conform into his image, which means I need to get a better knowledge of him. I need to see myself and his righteousness. And I need to gain knowledge through fellowship. I need to spend time in his word. I need to spend time praying. That's what pursuing is. That is what the knowledge is referring to here. Third thing I want you to see here, and this is the last thing, is we have to commence on our pursuit. We have to commence on our pursuit. What does that mean? We got to begin. We need to make that commitment, and tonight's a great night to make it. There's no sense waiting until tomorrow. And then we got to say, okay, I'm committing to pursue after God with my whole heart. I have to be willing to conform. Obviously, none of us have apprehended. None of us have arrived. None of us are exactly like Jesus Christ tonight. We're going to have to come to the point and say, hey, I need to become more like him. There's something in my life I'm going to have to conform to become more like him in my pursuit. And then we need to begin this journey. We need to commence. We need to start. Look what it says in verse number 12. It says, actually verse 13, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. What are you saying? He says, I haven't made it. And if the Apostle Paul was saying that after he counted all but loss, boy, we haven't made it either. I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, isn't that great? You know, it's like that one thing I do. That's what the Baptist preachers say, or Baptist sermons are. This one thing I do, because that's all anybody wants to do. But then there's three more things underneath that. This one thing I do, and I guess that went over everybody's head. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What we need to do, there must be a starting point. If we're willing to make this commitment, willing to conform into the image of Jesus Christ, there needs to be a time and a moment where we start pursuing, and we need to commence on this journey. You need to say, now is the time. I want to become like Jesus Christ. I want to gain thirst for God. I want to become more like him. I want to long for him. My heart burns, the desire to want to know him better. So what do we do? There's three things here the apostle says. He says, this one thing I do, and he wraps it up in three things. First thing he does, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. Living in the past will ruin your future. Living in the past will ruin your future. Perhaps you might say, somebody's offended me, or someone's hurt me, or some pastor treated me wrongly, or somebody else said this about me, or somebody abused me, or something. And I'm not minimizing your situations and your circumstances, and I know that there are hearts that people need to deal with, but I'm here to tell you that if we are not willing to forget our past, it will ruin our future. Thinking about the Apostle Paul here, what could he have said? He could have said, I'm nothing more than a lousy murderer. I am nothing more but full of pride. I can't serve God. And he could say, no one's going to accept me. Over and over, he was rejected many times. When he went to the Christians, they remembered him and they said, no, Barnabas had to come alongside and say, yes, he is a believer now. He went to different towns. He would go to the temple. And what would they do? They would run right out of the temple. You know what? He kept on going. He forgot the past so he could reach forward to the future. You know what? There are some of the things that we're going to have to count but loss. There's some hard feelings. There are some things that we're just going to have to say goodbye to. Some grudges. If we really, truly want to pursue after God. A little side note, and I don't think it's as textual here, but there's also people who like to live off of what they've done before in the past that's been good. and use that as an excuse why they can't serve today. But we need to forget those things that are past. We can rejoice and be thankful and excited about what God did last year or last week, but we need to forget those things and keep on pressing forward too. We praise him for him, yes, don't get me wrong. We're thankful for him, and we never forget what he did, but we don't need to let that be our life's work. The Apostle Paul also said, not only is he forgetting those things which are behind, he's reaching forth unto those things which are before. He's reaching forth to those things that are before. You know, the day and time we live in is pretty messed up. I mean, the world has gotten pretty crazy. To be a Christian, to be a Bible believer, to preach the Word of God, to do the things that we do here, is not looked very highly upon inside our world today, inside our society. And we're looked down upon. They mock us on TV through their TV shows, through their music. They rip us apart. But you know what? We could, as Christians, say, fatalistically, say, you know what? The end time's coming. I'm not going to serve God. Say, look at all the rioting, all the earthquakes, all the wars. I'm not going to serve him anymore. That's not what the Apostle Paul did. What does the Apostle Paul do? He says that he's forgetting those things which are behind, and he's reaching forth to those things which are before. Paul said he's going to accomplish something with his life. He says, hey, I'm going to live fervently for God. He said, I'm going to take my life, and I am going to serve him with my whole heart. He says, I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and I'm going to reach forward to those things that are before. Now, back then, things were not easy for Christians. Romans were persecuting Christians all the time. And you know what he says? Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forth. We have such a greater open door today than he had back then. I mean, we have the avenue of the TV, the avenue of the radio, the avenue of the internet. We had the avenue of living in a free country, being able to come to worship together. Man, and he says, I'm reaching forth for those things that are before. We need to reach out, reach for. If we really, truly want to pursue God with all our heart, it begins with making a commitment. It continues with conforming. But it starts with a commencement. It starts with saying, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forth in this journey, in this pursuit for God. And last but not least, we see that there's a pressing toward the mark. God did not choose wrong in this terminology. He did not make a mistake. The Christian life is a race to be won. Paul is picturing the Christian life with Jesus Christ at the finish line. To be honest with you, you could even say it this way. Paul is picturing the Christian life as Jesus Christ being the finish line. He wanted to win Christ. He wanted to know him. His greatest aspiration was to know him and to understand him, the fellowship of his sufferings. And we didn't have time to get into all that and the power of his resurrection. There's so much in that. But he was willing to give it all up just to have a greater relationship with him. Anyone can start in the Christian life. Anyone can make a commitment tonight to say, hey, you know what? I need to pursue after God with my whole heart. And that is the starting point. But it is those who is willing to conform to Christ day by day that will stay in that race until Jesus Christ comes. It's too often we see casualties. Too often that we see people that drop out. Too often we see people fall by the wayside. Finish the race that God set before you. And obviously, we're reminded when we talk about these passages of scriptures about Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise the Lord. We've had a race that's set before us, and when we get tired, when we don't think we can make it, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's what we got to remember. We need to stay in this race. And when we get tired, we need to look unto him, and we need to keep our eyes focused on him. And remember what he did. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And today, his race is over. He's sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God, and someday we'll be there too. When you feel unable to press forward, look to Jesus. So let's review tonight. If we really truly want to pursue after God with our whole heart, it begins with making a commitment. We look inside our heart and say, you know what? I don't yearn for God like I should. when I read the passages about serving God with my whole heart or seeking after God with my whole heart or the flesh crying out for God or my heart crying out for the living God or the comparison about the heart panteth for the water, you know, that doesn't happen in my heart, but I want it to. That's where the commitment starts. You say, I'm willing to step aside anything that is blocking my fellowship of God. I'm willing to count those things that maybe used to be really precious to me. I'm willing to count that but loss. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not going to be easy. It's going to hurt to be able to do this. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we look in a few weeks about the flesh and the things that stop us. But, you know, it's not an easy thing. Things that you've held on to for years is not going to go away easy. But it's necessary if we want to pursue after God with our whole heart. If we want to be like the psalmist that says, my heart is yearning, longing, thirsting for God. It's not just something that happens overnight. It's day by day conforming into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's where the pursuit begins. But it does start with a commitment. Secondly, it's being willing to conform. Say, you know what? Whatever God shows me, I'm willing to conform. And lastly, it's the commencement. Start it. Make the commitment. Be willing to conform. There's a book that I've been reading a little bit. It's called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. And one of the things I love about this book, at the end of the chapters, he has certain prayers that he writes and he prays. And throughout the series, you're going to hear some of those prayers. And I have one tonight that I thought was really great. And I'm going to read it probably a couple times to just make sure it sinks in. But I tell you, it's a man who was seeking after God. Listen to this prayer. He said, O God, I have tasted thy goodness. It has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully conscious of my need of further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire. O God, the triune God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me thy glory, I pray thee, that so I may know thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Say to my soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then give me grace to rise and follow thee up from the misty lowland where I've wandered so long. I said, in Jesus' name, amen. Think about this. Oh God, I have tasted thy goodness. And that's what we tried to do this morning. We tried to understand the goodness of God. We try to see God's heart for us. And that should we respond by saying, I want to pursue God after more. And it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. Apostle Paul knew his relationship with God. He was satisfied in his relationship with God. But this caused him to thirst and want more. I am painfully conscious of my need for further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire. O God, the triune God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me thy glory, I pray thee, that so I may know thee indeed. You know, Moses was the one that got the opportunity to spend so much time with God. And he's the God that says, show me thy glory. He desired to see the glory of God. And that's what we need to see in our lives. If we need to pursue and say, show me thy glory. In our lives, we can feel and understand the glory of God. And he says, show me thy glory. I pray thee that so I may know thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Say to my soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then give me grace to rise and follow thee up from the misty lowland where I have wandered so long. Tonight, are you interested in pursuing after God with your whole heart? It begins with that commitment. It continues with that conforming into the image of the Son. But it's the commencement. The desire that starts. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed as we get ready for a time of invitation.